You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Can only come from you. Get to people, yeah.
What are you gonna
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders.
This call may be recorded or transcribed.
Having been granted permission to our ancestors whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say, Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and in honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Not a Wu-Tanger. Well, good morning. My bad, family. Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host. I think I am. Baba Oshi, hotel family. Hope everything is well with you. Hope you had a great weekend. And wherever you were warm and safe. You know, because it's tough out there, especially east of the Mississippi. Whew. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, 8 to 10 Pacific, any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. Top of the page, you'll see podcasts. Click on that. Drop down, you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that. There will be programs that are dated and titled. Also, you can use a shortcut. Just go to whatever search engine you use. Put in the search, babaoshi.net. BABAOSHI.net. And then, once again, will be programs that are dated and titled. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening. Once again, this program is Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And all times are going to give our Eastern times. On Thursdays from 7 to 8, 7 p.m. to 8 p.m., the Black Liberation Movement, Mississippi on the Move with Brother Patrick Lumumba of the Geronimo Pratt Gun Club. On Fridays at 8 p.m., Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. On Saturdays from 7 to 9, the Sankofa Elders Council with Dr. Janine. On Sunday at 7 p.m., Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And, of course, the number to call is 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. We Buy Black. We Buy Black, the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses, is WeBuyBlack.com. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses, WeBuyBlack.com. Africa for the Africans, Brother Bomani Tayemba. He's getting ready to take another group of our people on another trip of a lifetime. He will be my guest on Wednesday. Brother Bomani will be my guest on Wednesday. We'll talk about his coming back from Azania and the upcoming trip that is upcoming, Liberia and Morocco. So tune in on Wednesday for a good conversation with Brother Bomani Tayemba. Africa for the Africans. But if you want to see pictures, go to facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to see YouTube videos, go to youtube.com/Bomani 2007. All right. Habashah. Habashah Incorporated.org, Habashah, helping Africa by establishing schools at home and abroad. February 3rd of this year, next month, the 3rd, on Saturday from 4 to 8 p.m. at the Art Exchange, celebrating 23 years right on Habashah, celebrating 23 years of existence and doing things right. Habashah Incorporated.org. Of course, the Art Exchange, that's Brother Kenneth Zaki's place, you know? Yeah. Ledge Group land for the environmental development for group. Ledge Group land for the environmental development for group economics. Brothers and sisters, become a member of the Ledge Group. They deal in the four areas of human necessity: food, water, clothing, and shelter. They have 12 projects in 6 different countries on the continent with over 170 employees and over 260 members. Brothers and sisters, become a member of the Ledge Group. Abibiatumi, A-E-B-I-B-I-T-U-M-I, abibiatumi.com. Abibiatumi, they have a seminar coming up on the 20th, this weekend, from 2 to 4, Ghana time. You know, remember, there's a five-hour difference. So, in this current repatriation and liberation efforts in Sierra Leone. Okay. Brother Mansa Ojamu reports on the current repatriation and liberation efforts in Sierra Leone this Saturday at 2 p.m. Ghana time. And our honored presenter, will provide us with very important information regarding repatriation, citizenship, geology, and the correct pathway to lineage restoration. The event will be free, live, okay? On Abibiatumi, abibiatumi.com/shop, okay? Abibiatumi. Smile Pharmacy, SMAIFARMACY. SmilePharmacy.com. Smile Pharmacy, Brother Jabril. If you want to contact Brother Jabril, give him a call at 770-765-7751. 770-765-7751. You want to send an email? SmilePharmacy@gmail.com. SmilePharmacy@gmail.com. The Minister of Wellness, Brother Nathaniel Jordan, the Minister of Wellness. Brothers and sisters, I will be promoting the Minister of Wellness and supporting him. I love what he's doing, and especially since he's going back to the motherland and assisting. So, and we'll have more conversations with the Minister of Wellness. Brothers and sisters, go to theministerofwellness.com. All kinds of good information about the minister, the health coaching, success stories, the store, the health seminars, and all kind of good stuff. The Minister of Wellness is out of St. Louis, Missouri. All right. The Moses West Foundation. The Moses West Foundation. He changed his page. It's beautiful. How do your contributions make a difference? Your funding is used for atmospheric water generators. That's what Brother Moses West makes, atmospheric water generators. They're put in place, and the surrounding environment provides the moisture that is into the machine to go through a filterization process to open up a tap, and out comes clean drinking water. Yes. Research the water generators for deployment, installation, research, development, operational costs, education and awareness, emergency response, and sustainability projects. So donate to the Moses West Foundation, brothers and sisters. Our mission, the Moses West Foundation is an innovator in global sustainability, guided by the vision of the founder, Moses West, that clean water is a fundamental human right. Our mission is to leverage cutting-edge atmospheric water generation technology to provide essential water access, foster community development, and promote environmental responsibility. The Moses West Foundation. All right. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar, located here in Atlanta, in the West End, on Ralph David Abernathy Boulevard. And Wadada's has healthy fruit drinks and juices and all kind of good stuff and dry goods. And on weekends, on Saturday and Sunday, they have vegan dishes for sale. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar, located in the West End. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. Contact Mama Nia at 404-346-3263. 404-346-3263. She has a fine selection of books, postcards, greeting cards, t-shirts, figurines, and so much more. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. Gazimde Ajamu, my good brother with the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore in Lithonia, which is east of Atlanta off of I-20. Take I-20, headed east towards Augustus. Exit 74, make a left. Now you're headed north on Main Street into Lithonia. About a mile so in, on the left will be the new, well, won't be the new, but will be the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore and Coffee Bar. My good brother, Gazimde Ajamu. Give him a call at 770-305-6373. 770-305-6373. Brothers and sisters, there is light in the Black Dot. Jump back in your ride, head back in the other direction. Now you're headed south and make a left again onto I-20, heading east. The very next exit, exit 75, Turner Hill Road. Make a right, three lights, make a right. On the left will be the new Black Wall Street Market. The new Black Wall Street Market, yes. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa. Their Thursday night broadcast every Thursday night from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio. That's blogtalkradio.com/ULU. Us Lifting Us, ULU. Their Thursday night broadcast. Give them a call if you want to listen. Give them a call if you have questions, comments, or concerns at 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. Us Lifting Us. And, of course, Brother Abijah with the Homeland Village and Cultural Gift Shop in Macon, Georgia. He's not open on Mondays, but he's open from Tuesday through Sunday, 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. He's located 2910 Napier Avenue in Macon, Georgia. Give him a call at 478-256-1166. 478-256-1166. Homeland Village and Cultural Gift Shop, Macon. Sun Goddess Scents, your one-stop natural shop located at 4140 Jonesboro Road in Forest Park, Georgia. Inside the International Discount Mall, look for Booth 225. That's where you'll find my good sister, Shelly Amonset, and all the things that she has, the incense, the stuff for your grooming, for your beard and so forth, T-shirts and red, black, and green shoes. Man, that's right. She's got a little booth stacked up, Jack. Shelly Amonset, 404-434-7963. That's 404-434-7963. Sun Goddess Scents, your one-stop natural shop. Sanjay-Haiti, with work, the great work that Sister Gabby is doing, please, brothers and sisters, go online to Sanjay, S-O-N-J-E-Haiti, A-Y-I-T-I.org, Sanjay-Haiti.org. Baba Baruni, Mama Ya, they deserve support, and you know that. And if you want to use PayPal, I know many people are going to just not deal too much with the P.O. box and that kind of thing. So go to PayPal, yabaruni.com. Go to Cash App, $Ya, Y-A-A, the letter M. Baruti, B-A-R-U-T-I, to make your contributions, maybe one time or continuous, but they deserve it and they need it. Akabin Institute, Baba Baruti is a prolific writer, and his new book, Higher Ground, came out just a few months ago or late last year. He's working on another one. And, of course, every program we read, the Enya Sesem, the Enya Sesem, Daily Revolutionary Thought. That's right. Revolutionary thought. Let me turn these lights on so I can see a little bit better. Yeah. January 14th. If you and a fool have an argument, he succeeds. African proverb. Yes, discussion plays a significant role in the practical and visionary political and intellectual development of frontliners. But there are limits to this beyond which conversation becomes harmful to the warrior's thinking. In assessing these limits, it is important to understand why we should refuse to waste our time arguing with Yorugu or Negroes and other seriously confused types because drama undermines sovereignty. The answer becomes clear once we recognize the unscrupulous nature of their intent. Experience has taught them that if they cannot engage you in a conversation, then they cannot convince you that they are sane. Their job is to have us repeatedly waste our time in meaningless, distractive, reactive, dysfunctional anger, frustration, and blind bewilderment as they consciously continue forward in their invasive, Eurovisualizing, destructive, hateful, and genocidal way. And we have to understand the politics involved. Pain, pleasure, or anywhere in between, everything is political for Yorugu in their drive to create a reality in their own dead, despiritualized image. Enough of us were taught to teach the ignorant, but ignore the willfully stupid to grasp this simple truth. It makes common African sense. So yes, in an effort to maintain our African sanity in the face of this anti-African onslaught, we have every right and reason to be closed-minded to Yorugu and have any menticide inducing logic derived from it. We are not them. We are not Yorugu. We have no desire to think like them. And we know that to embrace the Yorugu way is to embrace Yorugu. Affirm, I do not engage with fools. I do not argue with fools. January 15th. We brought nothing upon ourselves, quick to internalize our pain, taking the blames, afraid to point the fingers at those who try to tame our spirits. We debate, and then we debate about the debates. And then we debate about the debates about the debates. Meanwhile, those of us who are not consumed by the debates of the debates, who have awakened to the consuming waste of energy involved, realize the extent of this regression. We are in a worse situation after the debates, and then before. It is a realization that can help us to understand that the debates are part of a distraction, a diversion, an exciting outlet from the boredom of our dispossession, and even increasing regression, entertaining excitement that Yorugu has us caught up in while they continue their progressive, invasive, genocidal assault against our very existence. Realizing this can help us to understand the depths of our functional powerlessness and how we are seeking power in a powerless way. In terms of purpose relative to debating, warriors are not here for those kinds of battles. They are here to build. So warriors have to know that if debating is all that those who cross their path can do, if that is the only way that they can communicate, then they need to be removed from their space. Warriors are here to do concrete work, to nation build at best, and can with that. As bet they can with what they have and what they know. They are not here to be distracted by divisive, childish play. Affirm, I do not waste my time in meaningless, distractive debates. Affirm, I do not waste my time with meaningless, distractive debates. The Inya Sesim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. Today is the 15th of January, which is the actual birth date of Dr. King. Very seldom, of course, the birth date of Dr. King and that date fall on the same day. This is Commemoration Day. This is a commemoration day. And the next time it happens, I believe it'll be the the 29th, 2029 will be the next time, and then 2030 something, it'll be the next time that the actual birth date falls on the commemoration day. Regardless if the birthday falls where it falls, but it needs to be observed. I remember helping get signatures back in the early 80s to help Dr. King's birthday be a national holiday. Yeah, listening to Stevie. Yeah, happy birthday. Happy birthday to you. Yeah. You know, unfortunately, we don't commemorate. I mean, I know I do. But this country, you know, it does that. It vilifies people. Dr. King was an enemy to this country. At least they made him out to be. He was a man who wanted to change the dynamics nonviolently, which is ironic because this is the most violent-prone country in the world. Oh, he began to understand that, and that's why he was killed. That's why he was murdered. That's why he was assassinated. That this country would not heed to his warnings, would not heed to his desires for change. He understood that the three evils of this country, poverty, racism, militarism, or racism, materialism, and war, whichever how you want to say it, and he said to Harry Belafonte, you know, because Harry Belafonte was helping Dr. King and providing financial aid along with other actors and musicians and actors and so forth. And he said to Harry Belafonte, "I believe I'm trying to integrate my people into a burning building." And he's right. I think Dr. King began to understand that you can't appeal to a people morally who have no morals, who could give less than a rat's ass about you morally or how you feel. There was no respect for African people. I think the problem for us is we have to look at the history. As I don't know, one says it's Elijah Muhammad, others say it's Malcolm. Whoever, the saying is this: of all our studies, history is best qualified to reward our research. Look at the history. And when you look at the history of Caucasians, of Europeans, in their human development, their human interactions, when they went around the world claiming everybody's stuff in the name of, didn't bring a damn thing to those civilizations, to those countries, except death, disease, and everything was about that because there was conquest. They didn't come to bargain. They didn't come to buy. They didn't come to share. They always came to take. And those people who are there in Palestine now, who are about to eliminate whatever presence of Palestinians in that strip of land, about to eliminate them. That's right. They are Caucasians too. They co-opted a theology and they put their face on it. I think that the most important thing for us as an African people is to look at our situation from an African-centered perspective, to begin to believe and trust in the idea of Pan-Africanism as the only solution, and I do mean only, for us to take to bring us to world prominence, to bring us to a position that we have some juice, Jack. We have resources. We have intellect. We have governance. It's the only. Us begging Caucasians is long past time. Long. Because it hasn't happened. It's not happening. And it ain't going to happen. We need to understand that. It ain't going to happen. Now, I think, you know, as Dr. King was seeing that, seeing his own demise. And I understand where he was coming from then and listening to his speeches, and now you've heard them. But it's not going to happen, family. It's not going to happen. You know, some of his presentations were outstanding. You know, his oratory was outstanding. Dr. King was truly great. Radical. Here's a radical piece that he did. You hear the voice of Dr. King. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. You know his name was Michael, right? Yeah, I knew you knew that. Yeah, his name was Michael. And his father, they changed their name after the Protestant reformer, the German, Martin Luther, who said he was tired of the Catholic Church dictating, the Pope dictating. So he put his theses and put it on the door of the church, you know. Yeah. So let me play this. I'm hopefully.
Day, or for those of you who are formal, happy Dr. Martin Luther King Day. Now, today we celebrate his birthday and his work, but I want to do it differently. Because when I notice that people celebrate the work and the legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King, there's always like this box that he's in, right? It's always the nonviolence, the I Have a Dream speech, the palatable things that he said. But Dr. King was a man that preached many things over the length of his life. He was a complicated man. He was a heroic man. He had his struggles. There's so much about him. I hope you'll read different books that really illustrate the complexities of him. But one thing is for certain, he was very radical, especially toward the end of his life. And so today's video, I just want to briefly hit on some bullet points of things that he was radical about, and then I want you to hear it from him for yourself. That's right. I'm only going to talk for a few short seconds, and then I'm going to get out of the way and let him tell you so you can see just how radical he was and just how much he would not be accepted today for the things that he's saying. So let me just highlight a few brief things about how radical he was. And you don't have to believe me. You're going to see the video. The radical redistribution of economic and political power. He criticized capitalism for exploiting blacks and poor people. He sympathized with black rioters. Yes. Yes, he did. He preached against the Vietnam War. He condemned it. And he condemned American militarism and the military-industrial complex. He supported organized labor, and he fought for wage increases above starvation wages. Tell me if you haven't heard that conversation lately. He encouraged black love and black pride with black people, and he condemned white moderates for hindering racial progress. Just want to, book before the video plays, just want to let you know, if you want to see more of the work I do, make sure you check out my YouTube channel. It's named after me, of course. That's where all my new videos are going up. So if you want to see new stuff and you're subscribed to Bothersome Truth, subscribe to my new channel, well, my channel, because that's where all the new stuff is going. Bothersome Truth is where you can see the old stuff. Like my Facebook page, The Daniel Trotman Show, so you can see the posts and the videos that I do. And without further ado, Dr. Martin Luther King himself, the radical Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.
We must also realize that the problems of racial injustice and economic injustice cannot be solved without a radical redistribution of political and economic power. The other thing I want you to understand is this, that it didn't cost the nation one penny to integrate lunch counters.
Well,
it didn't cost the nation one penny to guarantee the right to vote. But now we are dealing with issues that cannot be solved without the nation spending billions of dollars and undergoing a radical redistribution of economic power.
Yes.
We read one day, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But if a man doesn't have a job or an income, he has neither life nor liberty and the possibility for the pursuit of happiness. He merely exists.
All labor has dignity.
Yes.
But you are doing another thing. You are reminding not only Memphis, but you are reminding the nation that it is a crime for people to live in this rich nation and receive starvation wages. Estimated that we spend $322,000 for each enemy we kill in Vietnam, while we spend in the so-called war on poverty in America only about $53 for each person classified as poor. The promises of the Great Society have been shot down on the battlefield of Vietnam, making the poor, white and Negro, bear the heaviest burdens both at the front and at home. America's opportunity to help bridge the gulf between the haves and the have-nots. And the question is whether America will do it. There's nothing new about poverty. What is new is that we now have the techniques and the resources to get rid of poverty. The real question is whether we have the will. At the very same time that America refused to give the Negro any land, through an act of Congress, our government was giving away millions of acres of land in the West and the Midwest, which meant that it was willing to undergird its white peasants from Europe with an economic floor. But not only did they give the land, they built land-grant colleges with government money to teach them how to farm. Not only that, they provided county agents to further their expertise in farming. Not only that, they provided low interest rates in order that they could mechanize their farms. Not only that, today many of these people are receiving millions of dollars in federal subsidies not to farm, and they are the very people telling the black man that he ought to lift himself by his own bootstraps. Now, this is what we are faced with, and this is the reality. Now, when we come to Washington, in
in this campaign, we are coming to get our check.
I come here tonight and plead with you. Believe in yourself and believe that you're somebody. As I said to the group last night, nobody else can do this for us. No document can do this for us. No Lincolnian Emancipation Proclamation can do this for us. No Kennisonian or Johnsonian Civil Rights Bill can do this for us. If the Negro is to be free, he must move down into the inner resources of his own soul and sign with a pen and ink of self-assertive manhood his own Emancipation Proclamation. Don't let anybody take your manhood. Be proud of our heritage. As somebody said earlier tonight, we don't have anything to be ashamed of. Somebody told a lie one day. They couched it in language. They made everything black, ugly, and evil. Look in your dictionary and see the synonyms of the word black. It's always something degrading and low and sinister. Look at the word white. It's always something pure, high, and clean. But I want to get the language right tonight. I want to get the language so right that everybody here will cry out, yes, I'm black, I'm proud of it, I'm black and beautiful.
Dr. King, the radical. Yeah, I'm black and I'm beautiful. Yeah, he was moving in that direction. He understood that these people, you know, give lip service. You know, they have no intent. In fact, family, listening on Facebook, looking on Facebook to us, a researcher, he said, what are the things, because when you have 80-something million people who voted for Donald Trump, last time, even though he lost by 8 million votes. You know, it wasn't close. He got his ass waxed. You know, it definitely wasn't stolen, we all know. You know. But those 80-some million people still believe that they can change that in this election. That's why, even though all the maneuvering, all the madness, this is crazy, he did what he did. He said what he said. This shit is on film, it's recorded. It is, but once again, who are you gonna believe, me or your lying eyes? But so if the Supreme Court allows this election to take place, and it really is gonna boil down to that, and I think that they will. You know, I really do. I think that they will. And if he wins, I'm gonna crack up, man. It's gonna be crazy. But anyway, the bottom line is that trying to understand Dr. King in light of this madness, it should be understood that they're never going to change. And this researcher said, what is the main thing? What is the main thing that these people who are siding with Donald Trump, what is the main thing? You know what it is? Fear. Fear. It's just like when those Caucasians were marching in Charleston, Virginia. Jews will not replace us. We will not be the fear, because they recognize That's why they're so strong on the abortion issue. Their numbers are dwindling. The demographers, about 20-some years ago, they said by the year 2050 that this country will be a majority so-called minority. Yeah. Well, that has been cut to damn near 2035, about 10 years from now, because they have been experiencing negative population growth. We've been experiencing zero population growth because of a number of factors: our mass incarceration, homosexuality, going with white folks and people outside of us, drug addiction, substance abuse, and others, some of it just plain ain't shit. Yeah. But them, their population is dwindling. And that is the fear, that they will not have the ability to dictate and to run things as they have always done. Especially if you have a society built on majority rules. See, but let me say this to you. They still run shit in South Africa, don't they? And they've been running. They've had majority rule there and other places. It is what they do. And so, but here, it was stated as such. See, and as Dr. King said, I want you to do the thing that you put on paper. If you set it on paper, I want you to do it. If you said voting rights, if you said equality, if all those things, and it's on paper, I want you to do it. But that's not them. They're liars. They're liars. They have no intention. And even though that fear is there, the fear of genetic annihilation, it is real for them, because it is. Yeah. So, what do you think it is, family? Give me a call. Give your perspective on this. You know, and give me your favorite quote. There's so many quotes by Dr. King. Give me your favorite quote. I know mine's is, there's nothing more dangerous than sincere ignorance and conscientious stupidity. Man, I love that quote. There's nothing more dangerous than sincere ignorance and conscientious stupidity. Sincere to ignorance. Now listen, you and I know that ignorance is simply absence of knowledge, and you can always impart new knowledge. So there's nothing, you know, inherently bad about being ignorant. Hell, I'm ignorant of quantum physics. But if somebody hip me to quantum physics, then that would eliminate my ignorance, correct? Yes. But to be sincere to it? Sincere, you know what sincere means. Dedicated to ignorance. Then he says, conscientious stupidity. Conscientious to be that I'm very aware that I'm stupid and I'm doing stupid shit. I'm very aware. Yeah. Give me a call, 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. This is Dr. King Day. We're celebrating Dr. King Day on his actual birthday, exactly the 15th of this month. All right, my good brother and co-host, Brother Irv Lewis. Brother Irv, how you doing, man?
Baba Oshia, thank you for taking my call. I was listening from the cemetery. I was wondering if there was room for me to call in, and I did. And I just want to say that one day we will learn that the heart can never be totally right when the head is totally wrong. That's my favorite quote.
That's
from
it.
King, and I... and that's what he says. The heart can never be totally right if the head is totally wrong.
That's right.
And in that, and everything he said, I understand why people quoted him because he was so strategic in his language. Yeah. He weaponized words.
Yeah.
He weaponized words to the point where he touched the inner mind and the inner hearts of these Arugu that were persecuting him
right.
and his people. But you know, the white man said something. The white man, JFK, mm-hmm. in his speech that he heard somebody else say. Don't get it twisted. These white folks ain't made up nothing. They steal everything.
Mm-hmm.
He said there's nothing to fear but fear itself.
Right.
Why is he talking about fear, Baba Oshie? Why is the first thing out your mouth when you start talking about white people and kings is fear? Because fear is the motivator. Mm-hmm. If you're afraid, you'll do things you never right. thought you could do. You'll say things you never thought you would say. You kill one of your kids or something crazy that you say, there ain't no way in the world I'd do that. Fear will have you. Fear and pain are the two things
mm-hmm.
that white people, that takes them somewhere. So, no, brother, King had his place. We needed King when we needed King. Right now, if King were here, I don't know what he would be, but he wouldn't be what he was back then. Because back then...
No, he would not.
No,
I agree.
No. Mm-mm. He wouldn't be. Because this thing you got here now with the preachers coming out from behind the curtain and putting on their dresses and the Pope saying it's all right, blessing these homosexuality and the money. See, King understood the money. But the quote that they put in D.C. on his statue aren't the quotes that they don't want to hear. They don't want to. They want to hear all black children, regardless of their character, all that foolishness. They want to hear that.
Right.
They don't want to hear the one that you played. You know, at the same time they were giving land away.
Right.
At the same time they would teach them how to farm the land and telling you to pull yourself up by your bootstraps.
Right.
But we didn't have no boots. And we didn't have boots because and Oshie, when they keep saying, man, that you know it's gonna be more black people, and it could be 10,000 black people. How many white folks managed to colonize Africa?
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't 8 trillion, 8 million. It was a few white folks with some guns and a mindset. Because they didn't want to, they realized that they couldn't take all of them and bring them to their country, so they colonized them where they were. And it wasn't that they were smart, it's that they were demons. They were
right.
demonic. Come on, Oshie. These people, right. a few white folks came up there with some guns and some Bibles, and they colonized Africa. And
mm-hmm.
the Africans are mad because they fell for it. They fell for it. And now they're coming out of it, and they're realizing that these white people have taken our culture and got us learning English, they printing our money for us, we sending them mm-hmm. our gold, and we sitting here in the dark,
right,
living in the dirt. Come on now.
Right.
We've come out of that. And the young people in Africa ain't going for that. They're not going. And what do they do? What do you do when a people start to rise? You give them a diversion. Well, you can put on a dress. You can be gay. I don't want to be gay, but it's fun. They do it in America. It's fun, bro. Come on now. It's fun.
Yeah.
But what they don't understand, it's demonic. Because once you jump in, you can't jump out. I know people homosexuals. And friendly is all get out. Smart is all get
sure,
out.
Sure.
But that demonic spirit that's in them gives them that imbalance. It gives them, it has nothing to do with the social culture. It's an imbalance. And the imbalance is the part that keeps them on a swivel. It ain't nobody. I know a girl. She tells me what she just been seeing a therapist since she was in high school because she loves women and men, and she can't understand why she's torn. She's torn. It's not fun. It's nothing fun about. I don't wish that on anybody. And she says it. She has children. She said, "I hope my children aren't homosexual."
Mm.
And so my point, it's sad, but when you have a conversation about it.
Hey, man, I live here in Atlanta. I was hoping the same damn Ooh. Thing about my sons, my grandsons.
Please.
I hope these cats are grown to be homosexuals. Man.
Oh, and they say it's not a choice. But the thing that bothers me is the people are promoting this. They're promoting homosexuality to their children as if it's a beautiful thing. If it's so damn good, why don't you do it? If it's so good.
Yeah.
Biden, if you love it so much, why don't you do it? Maybe you already do. So, but the point is, the point I'm making is King came along, said what he said. He touched people's hearts. He made people look at themselves. And then when they got finished looking at, especially the white folks, when they got finished looking at themselves, they start counting their money. Because this all boils down to, in a capitalist society, mm-hmm. money.
Right.
That's all it is, Baba Oshie.
And see, that's what, money. And that's what Dr. King was saying about the three evils of this system, of the society: racism, materialism, and militarism, war. Which, of course, if you have materialism and money, you got to have poverty. This is not a situation where everybody can have. And it says that. It gives you the impression of that, but they know that the reality of it, in order for me to have the multitude that I have and want to have, your ass can't have nothing.
That's nothing. Not half, not a little bit.
Right. Nothing. Nothing.
And then to layer that, you have to be dependent on me mm-hmm. for everything you need.
Right.
And what is that? That's slavery. Mm-hmm. Slavery didn't build men. Slavery built children. Oh, Master, can we eat today? You know, can I get something to eat? You know, I live in your house. I'm a sharecropper. You know, this season we didn't make a lot of money. I'm going to owe you double next season. You're a child.
Mm-hmm.
The guy, I'm going to stop and let somebody else get on Baba Oshie, but I want to leave you with this. A quote from a great scholar, one that we all respect, and we know that he lived a good life and he knew a lot of things. Brother Red Fox. They asked Brother Red Fox, why is money green? Brother Red Fox looked over at the white man and said, because the Jews pick it before it's ripe.
Red Fox, that was on TV. That was a good one.
He had on Knickerbockers.
Yeah.
You know what Knickerbockers are, short pants. He had on Knickerbockers. He said, and the guy, he came out of the guy said, what you got on? He said, I got on Knickers. He said, I got these in Alabama. Because when I got there, everybody kept saying, yeah, we're going to get them Knickers. We're going to get some Knickers. And so I bought some. This is on television.
I love it.
Red Fox was something else, boy. You got to love that, brother. But no, you know, celebrating King, I approve of that because I think it's a beautiful thing, especially for the children. But we must keep it in perspective because you're living in a country that doesn't even give you a choice. Mm-hmm. And I was just looking at this on the TV. They don't give you a choice, and people are getting tired of that. 47% of people say they want an independent party because there's no one to vote for. And King even said that. Some people don't vote. And some people think it's the ones to vote for. And it's never been anyone to vote for.
In this situation, it has never been more true. When you're talking about Biden or Trump, are you kidding?
It's the same people. At the same time, you're talking about King, loved America, loved all these people, and you're financing a genocide in the Gaza.
Right.
You're financing it. And you're saying, don't look over there. But I got Al Jazeera television. I see it every night. They write on the ground. These children, the hospitals, the children are laying on the floor. I can go on and on. I don't want to gross people out. But they're doing some real cruddy things, man.
Yeah.
And they're saying, and Netanyahu is a psychopath.
Yeah.
The same as Trump. Yeah. He's a psychopath. He said, we're not stopping. We're winning. You're winning against who? Women and children?
So he is not going to withhold and call in a ceasefire. He is going to, as he said, finish the job. Eliminate Palestinians from Palestinians' land. Period.
And the Jews here are going along with it.
Yes.
And just like you sit there and watch Biden give these speeches on how much he's helping people. Stop financing this genocide. It is genocide.
Yep.
But this country, point is, And if they come for you tonight, they're coming for me in the morning. Don't think that that ain't me. They ain't going to get me. They ain't going to get you too, bro. Believe me, if you let them do this, they'll keep going. So, no. Who do you vote for? I don't vote for either one of them.
That's just me.
I'm not telling anybody not to vote.
Right.
But, Bob, I should get some other calls. I want to listen, brother.
You bet. All right. Peace.
Yes, no. All right.
Yeah, we're going to take a break. It's that time. We come back from the break, we'll put the phone lines. Give us one of your favorite quotes of Dr. King and give us some perspective as far as you're concerned about the great leader, Dr. Martin Luther King. Brothers and sisters, this is African Perspectives here at the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We'll be right back. You stay with us.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I'm your host, Baba Oshi. Dizzy Gillespie. Unicorn, 1977. That's right, Dizzy Gillespie. Yeah, man, that cat, when he blew that horn, man, his whole head blew up, didn't it? His neck and jaws, man. Dizzy Gillespie. Brother Jay, what's up? Jay?
Hey, oh, what's popping, man? What's going on?
Well, we're talking about Dr. King today. You know, today's his birthday.
Brother, listen. Hold on one second. Dr. King, I don't know if you heard last night's show.
Oh, no, I didn't.
Well, hold on. I'm trying to get this thing on.
Okay.
Well, last night, I made the controversial.
No, what? You, Jay, you said something controversial? Really? Are you
kidding?
Yeah,
man. And one of your Tobies, who's probably listening right now after my controversial statement, had the nerve to get on and tell me that I needed to go to YouTube and listen to Dr. Clark. Let me say this to him. And Irv, I'm gonna behave. Sir, at 18 years old, I was sitting in a class with Dr. Clark at Hunter College. Okay? I'm 59 years old. From that period on, I didn't have an intimate relationship with Dr. Clark like Marimba Ani, who at that time I think was a teacher also at Hunter College, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
But from that point on, I could honestly say I'm one of the few people like others in Harlem that had the opportunity to listen and study under Dr. Clark. And I can say proudly that I sat on 135th Street and Lenox Avenue, now Malcolm X Boulevard, and ate breakfast with Dr. Ben and Dr. Clark. Let me give this disclaimer. Dr. Ben was a pistol. Man, let me say this right quick. If you wanted to hear a man talk about the black woman and her highest esteem and light and debauchery, that was Dr. Ben. Dr. Ben was no joke. But let's get back to this, sir. I have had the opportunity to talk with Dr. Clark at 18 years old and watch him do a number on white boys who got out of line in his class. And not even knowing at 18 years old really who Dr. Clark was, other than everybody said, if you want to learn something about your history, that's the class to take. Ooh. Moving forward, in my learning of history and culture, Dr. Clark was a regular at First World, and he was also a regular at a program that they had where I think I met Member Ani in passing because of fellowship, where he gave lectures, and all of the top lecturers in the conscious movement was there. I was there, sir. I was sitting at the table. I was shaking all of these people's hands. You understand? So let you, old knucker. Don't you ever question me or tell me I need to go to YouTube. You fantasize about Clark. You dream about Clark. I had the opportunity to embrace, to touch, to hold, to witness, to do all of the do-do-do's that you fantasize about. So, sir, next time when you disagree with what I'm saying, address that, please. But don't tell me I need to go to YouTube where you get your fantasy from to me, please, sir. And, hey, let's carry on the king now.
All right.
Hey, Oshie, let me say this.
Hurry up, Jay. I got some other callers, bro.
I love Dr. King. I'm going to be quick.
Okay.
I love Dr. King. But I'm just at the point now that we need to look for other leaders to lead us, because Dr. King at this time his image has been bought and paid for by white folks to make him into something that I don't think he really was at the end of his life. Now, as he was developing, growing, learning, going through the process, that's a whole different story. But you know, I'm just going to leave it like this. We need to find new leadership to guide us into our next movement as a people so that we could get out of this situation that we're in. Because I know you looked into Project 2025, and I started my little bit of research on it.
You did that.
And let me just say this. We're in trouble. And, hey, listen.
You said that.
Do your thing.
I thought it was Project 2024. What is it again?
2025. Project 2025. It'll take a long time for you to be able to really get into it.
Okay.
But I would say this: if you could find somebody within the circle that you roll with that know about 2025, get them on to, you know, educate us, your listenership,
okay.
Because I think that's the most dangerous thing that we're facing right now that we as a community really don't understand, and we need to get on board with it, especially if Trump get back in the office, because it's going to be a disaster. But okay. Hey, please put me on hold,
right,
and enjoy the rest of the show, and you know, maybe I'll pop in later.
Okay.
But to my boy, I know Clark. You don't. Have a good day.
Jay venting from last night's program. Brother Marcus, good afternoon, Brother Marcus.
Yes, Brother Oshi. Good afternoon, and good afternoon to the other brothers on the line.
And sisters, you know, there's some sisters on the line too.
And sisters, right. Yes. Sorry about that. You know, initially when I first was exposed to Martin Luther King, I wasn't really impressed. But later on, when I found out at the latter part of his life, you know, the speeches that he made, mm-hmm. It made me have a new, see him in a new light, because as you said, they don't advertise, you know, the latter part of his life. They always talk about the I Have a Dream and the mountaintop speech, and they don't talk about the economic boycott, you know, and stuff like that. He you know, he was expounding at the latter part of his life.
Mm-hmm.
And also some things I found out, you know, I found out that he went to Africa in 1957.
Yes.
He and his wife went to Kwame.
Right. Kwame Nkrumah's inauguration, yes.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And in 1965, he went to Jamaica.
Mm-hmm.
And visited Marcus Garvey's gravesite, you know.
Yes.
So the king of the earlier king is a totally different king than the king you know, when he died, he was evolving psychologically.
That's right, he's evolving. Yes, and he was.
And that's when they moved, because when he was talking, when he talked about that last speech that he made in Memphis, when he was talking about economic withdrawal, he talked about economic withdrawal from Coca-Cola, economic withdrawal from Wonder Bread. They said, we can't let this guy here go no further, because they know that is the power, you know. It's economics.
That's right.
It all boils down to economics. This whole thing is about economics.
Yes.
And another thing I realized too, I just found out that King's mother was assassinated in 1974.
Right.
I didn't even realize that.
Yes.
You know, so there was so much tragedy around. And just like Malcolm X's father was assassinated too. They put him on a train track, and the train ran over him, killed him. And his mother went to the insane asylum. So it's so much tragedy, you know. Mm-hmm. But I have learned, you know, to respect. You know, this man, I think he was genuine. I think he was really genuine. He believed in what he was doing.
Yes.
You know, and because it was Harry Belafonte that had to bury this guy.
Yes.
He had to bury him. So if he was a sellout, he would have been wealthy. He would have been rich, because usually the sellout rich, you know. He was genuine, but I think, as you said, he realized that because he made that statement to Harry Belafonte, he said, look, I believe I have integrated my people into a burning house.
That's right.
You know? So, yeah, but they keep promoting that I have a dream and the mountaintop speech and this and that, but there was more to him than just that, you know? Uh-huh. And as I said, I learned to appreciate him.
Right on, Brother Marcus.
I use my phone and continue listening.
Thank you so much, brother. Appreciate that, because you just substantiated what we always talk about on this program, man, about Dr. King being the radical that he was. We appreciate that, Brother Marcus. Yes. Brother Irv.
Baba OG. Brother Baba Marcus.
Yes.
Is so wise. He's a wise man. And he, what he said was exactly what I said and others have said, and lived in a capitalist society, it all comes down to money. Mm-hmm. And Baba Oshie, think about this really quickly, and I'm going to stop. You're not the person you were when you were 20 years old. Mm-hmm. You're not the person you were when you were 40 years old. You're not the person you were when you were 50 years old. So Dr. King can't be expected to believe something in his younger years and then keep believing it as he got older. He evolved into who he was.
That's right.
But white people get uncomfortable when they get to the end game. Mm-hmm. See, when they get to the end of King's life, they get uncomfortable because he was talking more like a nationalist. Mm-hmm. And to them, that sounded like separation, which is what they wanted anyway. Separate but equal. But see, they never could get to the equal part. They could get the separate part.
Get out of here.
They never could get to the equal part.
Get out here, and you're going to get nothing.
Come on, because in capitalism, like you said earlier, Baba Oshie, there is no equal in capitalism. There has to be someone exploited.
That's what it is.
There you go. There has to be that for it to work. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna hold on and listen. Thank you, Baba Oshie.
No, thank you, brother. Just keep on doing it, brother.
Get somebody.
Yep, Sister Habiya. Good afternoon, my sister.
Good afternoon. And happy Martin Luther King birthday.
All right.
I love Martin Luther King. He's an elder. He's a baba. He's courageous. Courageous. He's a historian. You know, and he loved our people. One of my favorite quotes is when he's telling us that black is beautiful. Okay, and that's what we needed to hear. And he said, if you look at the dictionary, they say everything black is bad and demonic, and everything white is pure and good. And he rejected that and was teaching us to love our people and be beautiful people, that we are beautiful people. And I wanted to echo, I'm echoing what Herb was saying and what Marcus was saying, because, you know, one of my favorite quotes, he was shouting out to people that, you know, he was integrating his people into a burning house.
That's right.
And so, and then just his evolution is so powerful. So it just teaches us that we all can evolve, you know, into embracing Pan-Africanism and nationalism, which is a lot of what he was doing.
Right.
You know, and so it's just a beautiful thing. I mean, I was echoing with the brother was saying about, with, I guess it was Marcus, about, you know, how he with him going to Jamaica and honoring Marcus Garvey and going to Africa and Kwame Nkrumah. These are beautiful. Yeah. This is a wonderful thing.
In fact, I was going to read a piece from the Pan-African Federalist Movement by the chairperson, Brother M. Stata, on that, because he wrote something 10 years ago about in honor of Dr. King, you know. But I'm gonna let everybody get a chance to say something, and
we got. But let me just say this much: we got to claim. We reclaiming our Baba, our leader, Brother Martin. Can we reclaim him? I mean, we can't give him up because the white people are trying to disparage him. And so since they're trying to disparage him, we just said we going to give up to him. No, we have a lot to learn from him.
Well, let me say this, sister. Let me say this. Caucasians, they hated Dr. King. They lionized him.
Yeah.
But then when they finally had a chance by killing him, then they martyred him, and then now, you know, they all this praise. And then, of course, just as Brother Marcus said, and I played that piece earlier, they play the Have a Dream speech. They play all these other things, so they kind of water him down. They don't want to play the pieces where he talks about justice, where he talks about economic justice, where he talks about coming to get our check. You know, they don't want to play
get
that
our
part.
Check, right?
You know, they don't want to play that part.
But we don't disparage him. The white people, the Europeans, doing that. But you know, I think one of your calls was saying, "Well, we just have to give up on him because of what the white people." The hell with what the white people.
Yeah.
He's doing it for ourselves and for our people. And the last thing, you know, he was against poverty. You know, he aligned with the sanitation workers' strike. He was against militarism.
Yes.
He was against capitalism.
Yes.
He was, and for our people, and he, he used to have tribute. And, you know, his legacy is profound.
That's right, 'cause that's what he said. Those are the three evils of this country. Poverty, racism, militarism. That's the thing. And it's still that way today. So I thank you, my sister. Continue to listen, okay? Get some more. Happy King Day. All right.
Happy King Day.
All right. See what I mean? All right. All right. 334, Brother Lust, Brother Ted. How you doing, man?
Hey, good afternoon, Brother Oshie. I could bet the 400 blocks of Auburn Avenue must be really packed.
Yes. Oh, yeah. At this time, it is. They have a number of things that are happening at the new church. You know, the old church, there's a new church across the street from the Ebenezer that's on the corner, and it's a lot bigger sanctuary and so forth. They're having a big thing happening over there. At the new church, and of course the King Center, which is part of that whole complex in there on Auburn Avenue. Yes.
The comment that I'd like to make is based on a quote. Now, I'm not really sure how it really went that can be found in one of King's books of sorts. It goes to the effect that a revolution changes people and institutions. I'm paraphrasing it. And so in today's world, is there room for a revolution that really would be able to change people and institutions? And I think simultaneously, because institutions are made up of people.
Right.
And so they're just the way that situations and circumstances are in this day and age, apparently that revolution must be some sort of self-idealized revolution, right? One starts with oneself.
Right.
And then clicks into the body politic and then those institutions will start to change. And so it really does make us want to look at ourselves in the mirror and ask those questions that I've posed so many times before. Who am I? Who are you talking to that reflection in the mirror? And simultaneously together, who are we together? Right. And until we get to this point to be able to clearly answer those questions, I think then we can change the people, and so forth, we can go on and change the institution.
And that's what we have to do. We have to ask ourselves that question. Who am I? Am I really who I am supposed to be? And am I all I ought to be? You know?
Yes.
So we have to ask ourselves those kinds of questions, man. And obviously, when we come to understand the limitations on us in this society, that's our problem. We keep trying to define ourselves within the context of this society. This is not for us. This is not conducive to our development and growth as a people. Yes, individually, you can be all you can be individually.
Yes.
But I ain't talking about what an individual does. I'm talking about what we can do collectively. It's weak and pale in comparison to what we could do collectively. And that's the issue. And that's where we are, a collective people. And so, yeah, if you want to be all proud and so forth, and the fact that you done made it and you got yours, and you don't give a damn about and how anybody, you know, if you don't get yours, it's your fault and that kind of. No. The bottom line is we must come together, pull resources, and come together to be a collective people. And work, and we cannot do it. It's not going to happen here. And that's the bottom line. Thank you, Brother Lus.
Usher, thank you, sir. Thank you.
Brother Paul, good afternoon. Good afternoon, good evening. How you doing?
Good afternoon, Baba Ochi. Hey. Good morning to anyone around the world and anyone listening. Absolutely fantastic. Glad to be alive.
So Brother Paul, do they have any observance for Dr. King? Because he was a world leader in the respect of bringing the attention of the plight of those who are marginalized, disenfranchised, poor, and so forth. So do they have discussions around Dr. King's birthday in the UK?
You know what, in all honesty, Baba Ochi, I think somehow what we should be paying attention to is somewhat dropped over the edge of a cliff. I think, in all honesty, in the past, I've seen more observance, especially from conscious groups and so forth. But for somehow, gradually, that is turned to nothing. I mean, the reality of it is, you know, you would even hear on the mainstream media mention of his name about this time. But I can't put my finger on it, but it's about distractions. No, we don't. This year or the last year, or maybe even pre-COVID to now, there's not much mention, to be honest with you. And that's deliberate, you know.
Sure.
Archie, that's deliberate. That's absolutely deliberate, yeah. Because we're being so distracted, it's unreal, and it's just getting the distraction just getting heavier and heavier, and you know that's the road we've gone down. And when you ask that question, it also makes me feel that this is the point why I feel that we need to reach out, because like you rightfully say, I think you're right. And actually, absolutely, he's a significant energy. He's a significant world energy. And, you know, we need to connect. And on your side of the pond, they need to also look at him exactly how you described it. That's how it needs to be looked at and pushed around the world. It needs to be pushed because, you know, for instance, these Jewish people, yeah? Anything that concerns them, they enforce on you.
Right.
They enforce They impose on you, whether you want to hear it or not. They impose on you. You have to know about the Holocaust.
Right.
You know, they go so far that they want to enshrine it in law that you need to know. Yeah. And I don't think for some strange reason we don't have that same kind of, I don't know, we don't have that same sort of push. We tend to keep things very local, or we think that it just concerns us. We don't seem to have that. And we need to have that, Baba Olchi.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, my favorite saying, I have many favorites when it concerns Dr. Martin Luther King. But one of them is injustice anywhere is a threat to justice anywhere.
Right.
And the reason why that resonates with my soul, resonates with my energy, because that's how I feel, and I've felt that way most of my life. It's, for me, injustice, and I have to say, and I have to speak the truth, it doesn't matter for me what color you are, whether you're a man or a woman, whether you're a child or an adult, whether you're human or not, injustice for me is anywhere is a threat to injustice everywhere. And that's how I see it. That's how I conduct my life, mm-hmm. to be honest with you. I, you know, Baba Olchi, man, I come from, sometimes a hostile background. And what I'm saying is, even it would be hard for me to see my enemy struggling without reaching out a hand. He might even try and bite that hand. I'm not totally naive. But the reality of it, that's what's in my soul. I don't like to see injustice. I do not. And I hear, like, from my dad's older brother, that's exactly how my grandfather was. Exactly. Some of the things I say, my uncle would tell me, that's exactly what your grandfather would say. And that's just sometimes these things are just in you. That's the way you're made. You're cut from the same cloth, and that you're just going to behave like that. Mm-hmm. You know, so...
Mm-hmm.
And one more thing I'd want to say about... Do you know, I find this very fascinating. I look at Dr. Martin Luther King, and the way I see him, he sacrificed his lives for the cause. And I've said that before about Malcolm X, and others said, well, he was assassinated. It don't matter if he was assassinated. It don't matter what way he went out. The point, I mean, they dedicated their life to a cause, right? It was clear what their cause was. For me personally, I don't care what mistakes he made. I don't really care if he said the wrong thing. That doesn't even... I find it fascinating how people pay attention to that. I don't pay attention to that. I know because I can feel his energy. I feel his energy. And I think when you're on that same path, when you're real to this thing, you just feel these people. You don't concentrate on what they said, whether they said the right thing today, whether they said the wrong thing tomorrow. You know what I mean? To me, that means nothing.
Right. Because you connect with their spirit. Right.
Exactly.
You feel them.
Yes. That's what I'm saying. And you know what? I'm going to say this as well, you know, Baba Olchi. That's a check for me where I recognize people are not really real. They speak a good game. What comes out of their mouth sounds so brilliant. But really, their energy, you just feel their energy, and you know their energy is wrong. They're hiding something. You know, these people call that the archaic record, you know. There's a record. That's what people don't understand. When you're a true African, you know about how this spirit thing works. You're just a person, you know, you just hear two words out of their mouth and you know their spirit is just messed up. Messed up.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? It's a spiritual thing. So I don't really focus on what he said, whether he... And last thing I'm going to say, very last thing, integration. We've had this debate before about integration, yeah, because I hear this a lot. You know, I always, if we're integrated or not, we are integrated, man. I don't even know if people know they're integrated. You don't even speak your own language. Of course you're integrated. You speak the white man's language. That's what you speak. You dream the white man's language because he's imposed that upon you.
That's right.
So I don't know where people are going with the fact that they think they're not integrated. You are integrated. If you're not integrated, speak your language then. Tell me what it says. Speak in your mother's tongue. Your mother's tongue is English, okay? And if it's not, tell me what it is then. So when we keep saying this, we're not integrated, he was integrating us, we are integrated. You've got a birth certificate, they've integrated you into the stock exchange. That's what a birth certificate is. It's got a number on it, and you're part of their commodity on their stock exchange. Okay? People, that's what I say, man. We need to wake up because I think we don't realize the reality of our situation. We're in trouble. We've been in trouble for 6,000 years.
Yeah.
We're really in trouble now because what they've done, they've brought it out in the open. Where they were hiding it before, because most of us wasn't so educated. They didn't want us to even read at one time. Now we can read. We can see things. And it's open. It's out in the open what they're doing. Yeah, so, you know, for me, the great Dr. Martin Luther King, him, he did what he had to do. And, we're all part of, we all got to do what we need to do, not focus on words, what this one said and what he didn't say. We all have to be that, be prepared to sacrifice. And the reality of it is a lot of us are not prepared to go to prison. I've heard it from them. We're not prepared to die for the cause. We're just playing. So, you know, on Martin Luther King Day, all respect to that ancestor. He was a fantastic example of what we need to do and achieve on this planet.
Yes. No doubt about it, brother. No doubt about it. Thank you, Brother Paul. Thank you, my dear brother. Yeah. Dr. King.
Wow.
Yeah. Good example.
Wow.
A good model. Wow. Now, we can all debate about his earlier years and, you know, coming out of the church and believing that the theology, the Christian theology, will somehow memorialize and what word do I want to use? But anyway, getting people to be more morally correct, you know, and that they would be more giving and more accepting, and look at their lives and begin to change them. But see, we didn't understand what we're in. We're in a capitalist system. We're in a system controlled by Europeans. We're in a system that is, as I like to call it, not white supremacy, but it, if you want to use that word, those two words, that's fine. But European, Caucasian, extremism. Brother Paul gave me that. Because they are. They're very extreme. European, Caucasian, extremism, racism. Yes, still racism, because they're the ones who created this concept and idea of race. There is no such thing as race. There is no such thing. In fact, if you want to use the word, then there's the human race, of which African people are the fathers and mothers of. And I think that is undeniable. Science has proven that. That is undeniable. Nobody can debate that. Racism. European, Caucasian, extremism, racism, and privilege. Privilege. That's why they're so afraid today. Based upon that piece I was telling you about, they're going to lose their privilege, their ability to dictate within this society that they created for themselves, because they wanted to put it up as a society based upon all these lofty ass things that they believe all these people could come together, but yet and still they want to dictate. They want to control. That's always in their modus operandus, is to dictate and dominate and control. And they're going to lose that. So they're very fearful. They're very fearful of that fact. And so for us, for us as African people, you know, we some of us, because we listened to a number of speakers who talked about the demographics, stating that the demographers say that by this amount of time we'll be a majority, minority, that kind of that don't mean a damn thing, family. That don't mean nothing. It is a fear for them, but there's other ways where a minority can control the majority. And being in a capitalistic society, this is, that is what's going to happen, because they're going to have the monetary position. They're going to have the monetary wealth in the in that position. And they're not going, they have no intentions. They have no intentions.
Hey, OT.
Yeah, go ahead, Jay.
Let me ask you this. Do you ever think that the white man is ever going to give this up and give other ethnic groups who they say will be the dominant personhood in this country power? No. All you have to do is look at South Africa.
No, exactly. No. No, the Latinos, I mean, why the Latinos who will be the majority in terms of population in this country, and it's a number of reasons why that's going to happen. Of course, the influx of Latinos or Hispanics or, you know,
white not producing babies.
Right. You know, those things are going to happen, but they're not. But the Caucasian is not going to relinquish his position of dominance and control within the system. That's not going to happen.
And you know,
Mama Ocean.
Hold on, Jay.
Let me tell you this right quick.
Okay.
You know something? He shouldn't. The white man should never, ever, ever give this thing up. You know why? Because he created it, he built it, and he needs to have it to continue his reign of terrorism on the world. See, we deal too much in the fantasy of what it should be. That's not the reality. That's not the reality. The reality is those that hold power do whatever they have to do to sustain power. And when we as Africans had power, we didn't sustain it like we were supposed to. So now we're in this situation trying, and I don't even know if we're going to really, really be honest, obtain power again. I don't think that may not be in our mental psyche to really want power on the level of
be.
A barbaric people like America.
Let me say this, Jay. Let me say this, Jay. I think what we're doing is we're confusing he with the system. In other words, when you say the white man this, the white man that, it's not about the white man. It's about the system of racism, white supremacy. So if you change the system, then the white man changes. In the system that we operate in now, we are never going to have power. Let's be clear. The African was in power for over 8,000 years. They built the pyramids. They can't be stupid. They built pyramids, and no one knows how they were built. So unless you watch these things, come on now. So we are a strong, smart people. But what we're doing is we're trying to put the parable is we're trying to put this suit on, and it's too small because we're not supposed to be here. We're never going to be where we want to be in this country,
right?
Because it's not ours. It's not our culture. It's not our house. We don't print the money. We're never, ever going to make this work. What we're going to do is disrupt it. We're going to disrupt it. And it's easy to tell me all the things that black people have done wrong. It's easy to say, we're never going to get it. We're so bad. All the world's coming to it. To hell with that. We're not, we talk about that amongst ourselves. But when we talk on this radio, we show a united front. You are my brother. If you're in trouble, I'm in trouble. We show solidarity. You see a Jew on television saying they should stop bombing Gaza? Hell no, because the Jews stand in lockstep. Even if they're wrong, they stand in lockstep. But we sit here and tear each other. Well, you know that damn Stephen A. He ain't shit. Well, we know he ain't shit. Excuse me for cussing. But let's talk about that in private. Let's not talk about that on the radio. Let's not talk about that in front of white folks because we got company. You know what I'm saying? We're in their house. But the reality is, it's the system. It's not the person. Like, all white people ain't bad. I never said that. But the system is bad. The system is what's killing me. Because you got privilege in the system, and I don't. So, brother. I think that we're confusing this, and we keep reaching back. Because history is important.
But I don't live in history. I live right now. And we got to do something right now. And we're doing it. We're doing it. Black people are moving. They're coming together. Our Pan-Africanism is alive and well. You may not see it, and you ain't supposed to. They want you to see King with Mahatma Gandhi on the wall. You never said he went to see Marcus Garvey's grave. I never saw that in a picture. Did you? Because they tell you where they take you where they want you to go.
And that's why, to be honest with you, man, I'm at the point where I just would like to, not in disrespect or anything of that nature, I'd just like to move on to someone else to educate us, if that's what we're looking for, to motivate us, if that's what we're looking for, just to get to the point to where as there's other ideas out there that could motivate us to our back to our greatness or to our greatness. You know, you just at some point in time can't keep on recycling the same ideas. You need new ideas. You need refreshing ideas. And I'm not saying anything against King. I mean, you know, I respect King. I personally think there's two people in my life that I think had some of the best plans to move us forward, Marcus Garvey and Elijah Muhammad. But the thing is, I want somebody today who's in the present, who's with us, to put forward ideas. Someone like a Baba Baruti, someone like a Kitty Alduwalu. You know, there's others out there who have a plan that could move forward on the teachings of the greats. And that's all I want, man. I'm sorry to say, but I'm sick of hearing Dr. King. I'm sick of hearing Malcolm. I'm sick of hearing all of those from the past. I need new ideas, man. I want to embrace new ideas. I want to embrace Baba Baruti and what he's talking about in the direction that we need to go as Africans, because he's present. That's all I'm saying. He's present and continuing the legacy of Dr. Clark and Dr. Ben. That's all I'm saying, bro.
Well, let me say this, because the idea for us is to embrace Pan-Africanism. Mm-hmm. And it is, as the model of this program, it's Pan-Africanism or perish. If we don't embrace Pan-Africanism, we will perish. All the greats believe that Africa should be ours and we should control it. That's why those men and women, whoever else, were murdered, were killed, were assassinated. All of them came to the understanding. When Kwame Nkrumah came in 57, he said, this is what we must do. It ain't about Ghana, Nigeria, whatever. No, it's about Africa. Africa must develop, has won. It ain't about the Igbo or any other so-called tribe. It is about Africa. And if we don't embrace this, we will, because believe me, and everybody knows this. If they don't, then they are very ignorant to the fact that these crackers want to keep us in this position so they can continue to take the resources that we have. Imagine if we were in control of our land and control of our resources, we would be players in this damn world. More so than correct. Any other country, any other people, mm-hmm. we would be players in this world, and we could show by our example of working together what the world will look like. But these crackers, they want to dictate. They want to dominate. And it's to our detriment. Brother Irv? No, hold on. Let me get Brother Kwaku. Yep. Kwaku, what's
yeah,
up?
Yeah, Kwaku. Greetings.
Greetings, man. How you doing, my brother? How you feeling today, man?
I'm doing well, brother. But then I'm glad yeah. I was able to chime in on this topic.
Please.
Because we have to look at things in a different way. Maybe because I have a mechanical background, I understand the reason why we're able to get into a car, drive from point A to point B, because you're getting into a machine that get multiple parts to achieve one goal and operate in harmony to get you there. There's no discussion between the rock arm and the lift, the push rod. There's no discussion. We got to operate in harmony. Do what you're good at. Do it and just do it.
Right.
Don't criticize what somebody else have to say. Just do your part. Anything and everything I do, I try to do it what's in the best interest of us as a people.
Right on.
We're the ones that's dying out here. Let's practice something. Let's practice those principles of my eye.
Yes.
Let's act out our principles. And you'll live a better life. Not believing anything or worry about a person's ego, all this kind of. No, we got to. People say, you know, we can't do something. I like to show that we can do it. Hey, you can tell me what you want, but I can show you better. If you can, if it's a thought in your mind, you can bring it to fruition. If you want to just see where you can fit in, get in. Right. Don't just talk it, get it, do it. I just do the work. Right. I ain't got time to argue with nobody, have any kind of ego, you know, what an ego is involved, let's get rid of that. Because they don't make no distinction. Right. And they're hanging us, or they're killing us. They don't say, oh, you're a Buddhist, or you're a Jehovah's Witness, or you from Tennessee. No, they see a black ass, and they're going to kick it.
That's right.
The best way I can describe our relationship with people in this country, white folks in this country, it's like being in an abusive relationship.
Yeah. Well, listen, before I know we got to go, I appreciate you, Brother Kwaku and Brother Irv and Jay and all of you.
Yeah.
But I want to read something. A friend of mine, a dear friend of mine, sent me some information. A little poem. Get your hands off our king. Get your whitewashing. Emasculating, rewriting history, lie-telling hands off our king. Get your hands off his legacy, his words, our dream. Get your hands off our king. Get your misquoting, your paraphrasing, hiding a knife behind your back. Get your hands off my king. Get your wiretapping, date-setting, operative training, bomb-throwing, white hood-wearing, Trump-voting, trigger-pulling, assassinating, hands off my king. He wasn't a pacifist, cheek-turning, boot-licking, Negro. He was a man marching, blow-taking, suit-wearing, revolution-preaching, black woman-loving, black children-raising king. Get his name out of your mouth. No, he is not rolling over in his grave. When we scream Black Lives Matter and free Palestine, when we flood the streets in protest, when we shut down your highways and your stores on Black Fridays, when we organize and fight against your pseudo-liberalism that likes its Negroes quiet, calm, ball dribbling, touchdown throwing and touchdown making, joke telling, shucking and jiving, he isn't rolling over. He's applauding. So get your hands off our king. I say. Right on.
I say.
All right, family. I appreciate y'all. Love y'all. I gotta go. All right. We in this program like we in all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in hell, damn it, don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day on this King holiday. Shem Hotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Bibi Fahardier. A Bibi Fahardier means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. Peace, family. See you on Wednesday when my guest will be Brother Bomani Tayemba of Africa for the Africans. Peace.